Hello again, this is Anita Wolfer, the author of your educational psychology text. Let's think about one of the most important issues for all teachers, classroom management. If you're concerned about how to set up and maintain a classroom that's exciting but organized, you aren't alone. This is the biggest concern for most beginning teachers. Classroom management is one area where we know quite a bit. There is very solid and practical research about how good teachers get started from the first hour of the first day of school and what they do to keep going all year so students are engaged and really learning. For example, educational psychologists at the University of Texas, where I went to school, conducted a program of research over many years. They learned that one of the most important factors explaining student learning was classroom management. Students in orderly classrooms with fewer disruptions simply learn more. It makes sense, though. In these classrooms, there was more time for teaching, more time for learning, and less wasted time. So the researchers decided to do something that no one else had done, start observing classrooms on the very first day of school. And they discovered that by the third or fourth week, patterns were already appearing. So they continued to visit the classes and gather all kinds of data for the whole year. Then they did something else really smart. They identified the classrooms that were running well, really smoothly in April, and the ones that had real problems. They looked back to see how the two different groups had gotten started the first week of school, and they found big contrasts. I tell you the specifics in your text, but the bottom line is that in the smooth-running classrooms, teachers had planned and taught rules and procedures from day one. They taught rules and procedures just like they teach any other subject, with lots of examples, modeling, practice, and let's try that again, reteaching, when it was necessary. They had anticipated what might happen, what could go wrong, and they thought about how to respond before it happened. Now, this research tells us about the organization and the structure of classrooms. But what about the people? What do students and teachers think about classroom management? Well, first, for students, three qualities define good teachers. Good teachers care about their students. They can exercise authority and provide structure without being mean. And they make learning interesting by being creative. So organization and order are important to students too. But notice that the human element is here, relationships and caring. Students who feel that they belong in school and that their teachers care about them are less likely to drop out. They're more motivated, they have higher self-esteem, they're higher achievers, and they're more resilient in the face of stresses, to name just a few findings from the research. But there is a potential problem. When Carol Weinstein and I wrote a handbook chapter on students and teachers thinking about classroom management, we identified a possible disconnect in the ways that students and teachers think about caring and about relationships. Students and teachers want and expect different things from each other. Good classroom management for students means a fair and reasonable set of classroom rules and procedures that protect and respect the students. Students want teachers to maintain order without being mean or harsh. And the students don't mind differential treatment. They don't mind if some students are treated differently from others, as long as there's no racism or sexism or real favoritism. And as they mature, students value choices and chances for responsibility. They don't want to feel controlled. Students expect their teachers to care about them as people before they will respect and cooperate with the teachers. As one student said in a study, if I don't like them, I'm not going to do anything for them. Well, teachers, in contrast, seem to believe that students need to earn their respect and earn their caring. And some teachers believe that being mean may be necessary, in the beginning at least, to establish their authority. You've heard, don't smile till Christmas. As teachers are pressured to raise test scores and to maintain order, they may become even more controlling and more rigid, less creative and less caring. The problem in these contrasting views of good management is a possible downward spiral of mistrust. Students withhold their cooperation until the teachers earn it with authentic caring. Teachers withhold caring until the students earn it with respect for authority and cooperation. Students who've had bad experiences with teachers almost expect to be treated unfairly, so they don't cooperate right away. Teachers see that, get tough, and punish. Students feel, well, I was correct in mistrusting this teacher, and become more guarded, more defiant. Teachers feel correct in mistrusting this student and become more controlling and more punishing. And on it goes. One of my doctoral students just finished a year-long study in a high school where he interviewed and observed and really got to know 10 teachers. He concluded that one of the greatest challenges and the greatest accomplishments in teaching is figuring out how to have trusting relationships with students, but still be the teacher, the one who's finally in control of the situation. And this is really a problem and a challenge when students have been let down many times by adults in their lives. So, think about it. How will you balance caring and control in your teaching? Well, that's all for now. I'll talk to you again.